was that?
What?
What's that sound?
Where?
It's aliens, and they're living in your town.
Damn.
They have arrived.
What?
They're all around.
Where?
So many aliens living in your town.
Hello, weirdos out there in weirdo land. It's the Weird Whatever podcast live from my living room. We've got Vicky back. And the first thing I think we all want to say to you is congratulations.
Thank you.
Congrats.
So yeah. Let the audience know what's going on with you.
Well, finally, it only took almost 22 years, but I'm going to finally marry my children's father, the one that I've loved all these years. We're finally going to get married in Jamaica on November
23rd.
No, congratulations. Yeah.
It's a day of celebration and love and clearly wine, I see.
That's right.
Beckett's drinking wine. No wine for Vicky.
No wine for me.
Well, congratulations. That is awesome.
Thank you.
Beckett, you're next, buddy.
In terms of giving an update or getting married?
Getting married.
Oh. You're older than me. I think you're next.
Nah, that boat is gone.
That's what they all say.
So we had the Instagram question of the week or the audience question of the week. In last week, we'll just touch upon it quickly. It was, do open relationships actually work? Got a lot of feedback on it. Want to thank everybody for giving back the feedback. The main answer was, it depends on the couple. If you both are into it, that's great. Both people need to be on the same page. And if you're not on the same page, it becomes an issue.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, I wasn't here, but I did say that you posted that question. I mean, I know a couple that, you know, they've evolved through the years. First, they were swingers, and they did that lifestyle for a while, and they made that work. They even at one time had a female living with them, so they had, you know, the unicorn, as they say, the perfect, you know, the situation. And then now they have turned the relationship, and now they're now considered themselves polyamorous. So the male, he has a relationship with someone in another state, and he also still maintains the relationship with his wife, and he splits the time between the two places.
So when you have that unicorn milling around, my question is this: are you allowed to have sex with the unicorn while the other woman's gone, or is every couple different? I know you're not the swing. Yeah.
I mean, I would say it all depends on what ground rules have been laid down. I would say that you have to have some type of guidelines. You have to say you can do this, 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 and this, but if you do this, you've crossed the line.
Even if it's lawless, there's got to be some law.
Right. There has to be a little something.
Well, I think that's where I land. I think that, you know, it's hard. I think even if you have two people that are on the same page and have agreed that those are the rules, I think there's going to be a lot of trouble with it, just in biology and how we're in culture and how we're naturally wired. The only thing that I would say that, and I don't think it's for me, but a thing that I respect about it, is so many people are cheating on each other out there. And people are like, monogamy is way better than being polyamorous or open relationship. But then they're having dishonest relationships, and it's not what they actually want. A lot of guys, for example, are guilty of wanting to have their cake and their eat it too. They want their wife or significant other to be totally loyal to just them. And then they go and do whatever they want two or three times, you know, during the course, whatever. And at least with the polyamorous or open, people are on both on the same page, even though it may not, and by the same page, I mean honest with each other about it. And what's kind of maybe beautiful in a way about that is the conversations that guys go and have with their buddies when they're drinking beers, they can have that same conversation with their significant other, if that makes sense, rather than, you know, say, oh, honey, baby, you're the only one for me, and then go drink beers and goggle over, you know, a certain girl, what's the bartender or whatever, and say they have certain desires, they can actually be totally honest with their partner. And I think that's cool.
So just to let everybody know, if you want to sign up for the Weird and Whatever, just people always ask, where can I ask questions? If you sign up for Instagram, Jason KVJ, you'll get all Weird and Whatever kind of updates, all that kind of stuff. We do have something coming up in a few minutes that we want to talk about that we haven't talked about. When my dad was in town and he was out with my sister, they took a picture on the iPhone, my sister's iPhone. And when they're looking back at the picture, they noticed this weird moon-shaped like kind of a thing in there. And it looked odd. It was a beautiful, blue, clear day. So my dad doesn't know that much about the iPhone because he doesn't have one. He didn't realize that when he took the picture, it was that one where when you hit it, it moves around for like 3 or 4 seconds. You can see this thing dart up and move around. Now, whether it's a reflection or not, I'm going to let the audience tell, you know, what they think. But it was pretty cool looking. Whether it's a reflection or not, I don't know. It is weird. And then our producer, Birdney's got some really better footage than what I've got. She saw three or four UFO-type things in the sky. And you got some pretty good footage. A good 10, 15 seconds of that? Yeah, so we're going to post that up. Jason KVJ, if you guys want to see that, let us know your opinion. Birdney's is definitely a little better than ours. I think somebody's going to probably shoot the one my dad took because it's a bit of a reflection.
Well, I've noticed this happened. A friend of mine, she went on vacation, and she has the newest iPhone. And she was taking pictures and doing some filming, and she noticed these strange reflections that were coming just because she was using it. Never happened with her other iPhone, but it happened with the newest one. Maybe because there's multiple cameras going on that it's causing things. And it looked like in hers that it was like some kind of entity that was coming through in the picture and then moving. But then we noticed that you could see it in multiple ones, and it was in the exact same spot. So we figured out that it was actually a malfunction of her camera.
Birdney, are you able to play those right now, actually? Yeah, if you're looking and watching on KVJ YouTube, our producer's going to go ahead and play them. Let's go ahead. Let's play yours first. So where is this taken at, Brittany? Is this down in Broward?
Yeah, in Coconut Creek in my parking lot.
Okay, Coconut Creek, Broward, hotbed for UFOs, Beckett.
Really?
Well, I think just Florida in general is just because we, you know, we got the space shuttle, the water.
True. Broward likes to get weird, too.
Yeah, so that's going to be the first one you see. Let us know in the comment section, do you think it's legit? Did Birdney just film a bunch of bullshit? And then the one that's going to be controversial is the one my dad took. So is it going? Nice. There you go. You can see it, Beckett. You can see it, Vicky. Also, if you guys have any UFO footage or any kind of ghost footage, we want to start taking a deeper look at that stuff. We get a lot of people who email us saying, hey, I've got a ghost living in my place. I need the weird whatever Ghostbuster team out there. Let us know. You can go ahead. Get your information to us at the Jason KVJ, or you can also send it. What's the KVJ email, Denny's?
mail@kvjshow.com.
Let us know. We'll get that email. And if we all look at the footage and we think it's worth investigating, we will go ahead and do that.
Your dad's now.
Okay. And then if you look up there, the next one you'll be seeing on there will be my father's, the one he took. It's very quick. If you blink, you won't see that. When's the last time you saw something weird in the sky, Beckett?
Probably like a year. Every once in a while, I'll see something that catches my eye a little bit.
Vicky?
Maybe a couple years ago, but I debunked it as being drones.
Because there's a stat, I forget exactly what it is at the top of my head, that X amount of people have seen a UFO, something they cannot explain. So you guys are telling me you fall into that category. You've definitely seen something in the sky that you can't explain it.
That's true.
Well, I saw the legitimate UFO years ago in the 80s. But, I mean, recently, I mean, the things I've seen, honestly, I could say they were drones and things like that.
I mean, 1980s UFOs, I think, have so much more credibility.
Yeah. Oh, because everything flies now. It's digital.
Yeah, everything does.
Like, I had a notice from FPNL that they were sending drones up to...
That's how they do it now.
To look at the equipment.
That's how they survey land now, is with drones. That's how they herd sheep. Is with drones now. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, me and Denny thought we were getting tailed by the feds. We were filming something by the Gardens Mall, and there were these... they looked like military.
They did. And I think they were FPNL.
Yeah, they were. They were FPNL doing some test run, but it looked like military shit.
If we had time, I'll tell you, I had a car get stolen out front of my house yesterday.
And
they had LoJack on it, and the cops, the Palm Beach County Sheriffs, actually threw a drone in the air and found the guy with the drone. And chased him down. They went and made the rest.
Oh my gosh.
Is that crazy?
They're busting people, cheating out in the... Like, you think you go out in the woods with your little side piece? They got drones now catching people out in the woods.
There was a video on YouTube viral. I hate to say it's funny, but it's really funny. The guy trailed his wife with his drone.
Oh, I have seen that. No, there's one. He follows her around the corner to her work or something.
And he starts yelling. He meets a coworker by the dumpster behind like a Walmart or something. And he goes... rip shit about
he
it.
He bust her with the drone.
Yeah, he followed her.
I just say, you can't do anything bad these days and think you're going to get caught because there are cameras everywhere, man.
It's a great deterrent.
It is. It keeps you honest.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Big Brother wants to use that to, you know, watch everybody.
But, it's the balance of, like, how much freedom are you willing to give up to be safe? Like, that was the big debate after 9/11, right? Like, when the Patriot Act happened, we were like, psh, if someone wants to look at my Google history, like, go for it. You know, they might be scarred in some ways, but other than that, like, I'm not doing anything illegal.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of where I'm at, because I used to be very much, and I still am, that everybody should have their privacy, but you just wonder as there's more and more people keep getting added to the globe and the temperature just gets hotter with the people arguing with each other. It's really probably better that we have the extra surveillance.
More people need their privacy that are trying to do nefarious things than people that need their privacy that are doing everything by the law.
So if you're on the up and up, you don't think you're one of those people saying, I want my privacy because you're doing it by the book? Or do you think somebody who does it by the book still can be like, I want my privacy?
Well, absolutely. Everybody should have their privacy.
Yeah. I just think the lion's share of people that get really concerned about it or have something to lose are the people that are doing bad things. But it is a legitimate, serious, good conversation and debate to have about the erosion of privacy for people that are doing things good, because the government and the police state can always, of course, overstep their bounds.
Yeah, it just sucks. If you have a human in control of anything, there's always a chance for it to be exploited for bad.
Totally.
So it's terrible, because you think everything you say with an Alexa in your house is totally going and being documented, and people listen to it. No, they say they use it for advertisement purposes or quality purposes, but still people are listening.
I know. It's something I'd really love to learn. I don't know if any of our listeners know the answer to this, but it's really weird when you have a conversation about something and then you pull up your Instagram and it's literally that person ads. That you were talking. And I get it. You have certain click history on Google, and I was looking for a house. The next thing I know, Remax or Sotheby's is trying to advertise because it's clicks, and that makes sense. It's Google AdWords. But if I'm saying something out loud and then I open up a social media app and that's like the
dictation.
First person.
It's taking your word and it's documented.
That's crazy.
Keywords.
The creepy thing that almost happened to me, I don't know how I did it. I mean, I can be so clumsy sometimes. I was walking my dog Chewy, and somehow I hit my Twitter app, and as it was either in my pocket or I was trying to fiddle around trying to find a song, and I was about to send all of this crazy, like it was all I had to do was hit tweet and some crazy bullshit would have won out. I mean, it didn't mean anything, but just the fact that you could go speak to all these people with the accidental hit of a button is scary shit, man.
It's really scary. When I was dating this girl way back in the day, I had a picture that I definitely did not want on social media. And remember when BlackBerry had the little scroll wheel on the side?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you could click by pushing it in. So the problem is SMS text message was right above Twitter, right? So I went to click on SMN text message, and it almost started to try to load it up to Twitter, and it almost went out to like whatever the audience was. Yeah, yeah, horrible.
So last week, Vicky, you weren't here, and we talked about witches, and I was kind of, you know, having a little fun trying to find a little potion or a little experiment that we could do towards Virginia to, you know, just tone her down. It really was kind of just a fun, goofy segment. Well, I've angered someone else again. I have pissed off a group of witches. These witches are, so this is one of many emails that I've gotten.
Which one?
I mean, this is a group. This is a group of, they're friends. They are, this is one of many. There's been several, so I'll just, it's probably the third or fourth one. This is from a different person that emailed me originally. Jason, you have shown disrespect to ghosts, and now you have disrespected people who identify as witch Wicca. Wicca? You know what that means, Vicky? What's for the people who don't know Wicca?
Well,
Wiccan?
I mean, it depends on what they're talking about. Like, people who are Wiccan, it's like nature things. It's all nature-based stuff. As opposed to what you were talking about, sounds like you were talking more like, you know, witches,
witchcraft
kind of thing.
Well, apparently Wiccans do some of that too, apparently.
Well, they can, but they use like natural things, and they try to do everything for good rather than for manipulative or evil purposes.
It goes on to say, you've disrespected people who identify as witches, Wicca, Wiccans. We are not the kind of people you want to piss off. We are very organized and very passionate. You asking about how you could put a spell on Virginia was absolutely disrespectful to my people. We want an apology from you. If not, you're going to be sorry. You better not throw an event. We just might have to show up and protest. Stop being such an ass. Don't even have to sign this because you know who we are. I had done pissed off a gang of witches.
I mean, I'm sure you didn't intend to, but I did a party like a, you know, like a month ago, and they didn't intend to insult me, but I could tell when I was doing the reading, they were in another room and they made a comment like, well, blah, blah, blah. Didn't she know it was going to rain? She must not be a good psychic because she didn't know it was going to rain. And that kind of stuff, like, ticks me off. I don't walk around 24/7 looking into the future or doing stuff like that. So they didn't mean to insult me by making comments like that.
They disrespect you a little bit. They're a little out of line. They're kind of son of a witches.
Yeah.
It's so clicky.
Yeah, I'm not going to apologize. I don't think I said anything wrong. So, I mean, if you want to bring your witch crew out, I mean, bring the brooms, baby. Let's do this thing. We've got our psychic. We'll turn this into a psychic medium witch war.
No, I probably will be hanging out with them.
I don't know. Yeah, well, I mean,
it'd be a good interview.
I would love it if witches came to an event and started protesting. You know how amazing that would be?
No, that'd be great.
That would be amazing. Witches?
It'd be like Practical Magic.
It would be. You're right. Well, with that, I think it's time for some.
Oh, yeah, that kind of random facts. Referencing an old 90s movie. That's funny. I was just thinking about that movie the other day for some weird reason. I think I saw something with Nicole Kidman or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Well, so here, what do you guys think about this? And we kind of touched upon this on the KBJ show from time to time. And actually, it's a reoccurring topic that we, I guess, just gets brought up a lot because it's in everyone's faces these days. But they did a study, happiness and life satisfaction among United States adolescents, which actually increased from 1991 to 2011, suddenly declined after 2012. By 2016 and 2017, both adults and adolescents were reported significantly less happy than they had lived their lives in the 2000s. Weird, right? Because the study actually thought this is paradoxical because by accounts, Americans should be happier than ever. Violent crime rate is lower. Unemployment rate is lower. Income per capita has steadily grown over the last few decades. So it's odd that people's mental state would have digressed.
Now, are you going to tie this back into one of your other random facts about technology?
Yes, that's why I was saying it's a reoccurring topic. It is technology. They said that people spend way more time than ever staring at screens, and people are kind of like plants. You got to get some sunlight and some water.
It goes back to that one, that interview that I brought up a few months ago, where if the kids growing up are just handling problems in front of a screen and they don't go out and handle things in the real world, you start to see a little bit of a, you just, whether it's good or bad, you just see a shift in behavior, and people want to know why certain behaviors are happening. And I mean, to your point, I think that's what it is.
So we're kind of like the guinea pigs. We're the first generation that's been given smartphones. I call it that in the future, this is going to change because these studies that are coming out are all showing the negative repercussions. It's just everything's been sanctioned for humans to use cell phones and to have internet at all times. They just didn't realize how detrimental that is.
Well, I think there's another thing at play, and I have a theory that that the smartphone, you basically have access to the whole world with your phone, and now you have so many options to do whatever, whether you want to date on a dating app, you want to order delivery dudes from whatever restaurant you want to do.
I mean, that's a good night right there.
I know.
Delivery and a date.
Where's the bad Bumble stuff?
So there's tons of things to do, but I look at how much happier I am at a restaurant like Houston's or that has a very small, easy, simple, straightforward menu as opposed to Cheesecake Factory, which is a book. And you would think that the latter scenario would make you way happier because you have all of these options. 100.
Cheesecake Factory makes me break out into a sweat because I feel like I'm going to blow it, and I always end up just getting a grilled cheese or a pizza. Pizza! Yeah.
Exactly. So that's my philosophy, is that we've entered a Cheesecake Factory realm in terms of all of these options when there was something to be said about simplicity before that, when it was just more straightforward, and I think that you're actually happier.
If you could walk into a Five Guys restaurant, you only have X amount of things to do. But you go in there knowing you're not going to be stressed out. I love options, but I also get stressed out by them. Mm-hmm. You're right. I mean, it is a novel at Cheesecake Factory. And I think there's a fine line. I think Outback does a good job.
I think Outback does a good job.
Yeah, it's not too much. I mean, even you go into some convenience stores, there is 70 rows of just bullshit. Like, do I want a Snickers? Do I want a peanut butter Snickers? Do I want a peanut butter Twix?
I'm blown away.
Get them all.
I'm blown away by the 7-Eleven by my house. They literally, if I want a t-shirt or yeah. an ice cream or a stick of gum.
They can do your taxes there.
Everything's there. A pizza.
You can donate blood. Get your balls checked out. No,
that happened at a 7-Eleven.
I love me a 7. To me, I think 7-Eleven is the best convenience store. Slurpees are amazing. They've got many options. They've got great donuts. I mean, I'm sorry. 7-Eleven.
And the coffee, I have to say, I don't care what Starbucks or...
Take it easy. Hold on. Don't be bashing any sponsors, please. Seriously, don't bash any sponsors.
I'm just saying, all of those places, in my opinion, 7-Eleven's got the best coffee than any of them.
Let's move along here.
Wait, you have coffee sponsors?
Just let's move along. Okay.
It's funny because they were saying that they're increasing how much they pay for people with trades jobs, and they'll train you because so many people are trying to become internet stars right now that people aren't learning trade skills.
This is a great – if you go in a little bit more detail on this, because it really is eye-opening.
There's a ton of incentives now for people to learn trade positions, painting, carpentry and stuff, because no one's learning it right now. There's such an incentive for people to get fame immediately through the internet that nobody cares about school or learning crafts.
Catch me outside.
Parents are no longer teaching their kids, passing down traditions. That's how it used to spread before there was television and radio.
Totally.
People had to pass them down, you know, through family.
In my education age, it was like, hey, go to college and you're going to get out and you're going to get a good paying job. But there was never like a specific track, like, oh, major in business or whatever. And you're studying liberal arts, which I think are very important. But then what about the people that need to fix cars and to be handy around the house and do metalworking and all of these things that are really important in different industries? It's totally gone away because a lot of kids have just gone more towards the general degree with no specific purpose.
To let everyone know at home, if you're playing along, Vicky, who's our educator, she grades Denny's and all these factoids. The first one, what do you think, Vicky?
I did like that he tied it to a previous one, so B minus.
Damn. Arrested Vicky is a harder Vicky.
Oh, yeah, no. Montego Bay has made you cold.
I thought you'd be a little bit more lenient. I like it. Get him, Vicky. Get him.
Well, to tag on to the first point, there's a Japanese word, ikigai, which describes the pleasures and meaning of life. Iki meaning live, and gai meaning reason. It's to find joy in little things, such as coffee or sunsets, or working on or being proud of a project. It's the practice to teach you not to look forward to external sources of gratification, but to rather help you enjoy and focus the task at hand. Even if it's work or chores, you can make them enjoyable. It's turning everything around into a positive instead of looking for certain things to make you happy in the distance.
Right.
So what do you guys think of that practice?
I mean, you ain't going to ask me, Denny's. I love everything you do. It's Vicky. You got to...
I just thought that was a cool word.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cool concept, but it's still nothing more than a B for me.
Damn. I mean, furthermore.
She's making me sing for you suffer.
I get it. This is just kind of a cool story, I guess you could say, just how connected humans are with dolphins. Adam Walker was protected from a great white shark by a pod of dolphins while swimming to raise money for dolphins. About 10 dolphins surrounded him for 1 hour straight, protecting him from the great white shark, which they inevitably chased off during his 8-hour swim. Crazy.
Aww.
But it's like... Why are dolphins protecting humans?
I'm just gonna say, Vicky, Denny's is sick this week, so maybe that has something to do with his shitty facts. I love him, baby.
Oh, it's a cute story.
It's very cute.
No, I think it's because I'm gonna answer your question. I think it's because dolphins are so intelligent, and I think they're very empathetic as well. I think they feel our emotions.
They're horny AF too. I don't know if you guys know that. No, looking at some dolphins, they love to make love, Beckett. You would do well with a dolphin. If you were a dolphin, of course.
Yeah, no, I think that's the only other mammal that supposedly has sex for pleasure.
I also think...
it's funny how Beckett knew that.
Yeah. That's why I say flog the dolphin. Elephants too, I feel like, are super intelligent. They really mourn when their loved ones and family pass on. They have a whole ceremony. It's heartbreaking.
They do, and they actually
see a tribe of elephants lose lose one of their own, it's tough to
watch.
They
actually revisit the graves as
well. Yeah, they mourn the dead.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy.
What's weird is what selects what animals possess these abilities. Like, you know, they have the gorillas where they've taught sign language to, and they can empathize also with feelings. Dolphins, you have elephants who mourn their dead. Do all animals do those type of things just in their own way that humans can't interpret it? Maybe those ones have more humanized versions of those type of feelings.
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I just know just enough to be dangerous, but it's different layers of cortexes of your brain. Like the humans have like a, you know, a prehistoric or reptilian brain. And then we have certain, like,
yeah,
the frontal, lobe of our brain is really kind of what's like the most evolved that branched us over from a certain level.
But
so
what do you call a guy who's got nothing but a reptilian brain?
What?
Lizard man.
I forgot about the lizard people.
A lot of people forgot about lizard people just because
I think we're better off.
They don't exist.
The internet don't forget about them.
Denny's gave us one more. Did you give him a grade on that?
Damn. Is that a Z?
Damn.
She just gave you a Z plus.
No, I'm B.
Denny didn't
get past the B.
Here's your last chance to get an A, Denny's.
Let's see here. So there's a river basin in Venezuela that gets struck by lightning 200 times an hour for 10 hours straight. It occurs more than 100 times a year. And in fact, it's become so predictable that it's part of their weather forecast.
I like it, Vicky.
That's pretty weird, right?
Interesting. Did they figure out why? What's drawing it there?
They've studied it. The last study they did was 2011, but they couldn't quite place it. The two theories they had was there's two bands across the entire globe where weather doesn't exist. What happens is where the winds all meet, create a vacuum and suck it. So for some weird reason, it creates static electricity in equator areas, which it wouldn't normally be because it's very humid typically. Mm-hmm. That's one of the theories they had. The other one they thought was possibly that area had a positive charged ion in the grounds underneath it for whatever reason, but that one was debunked. So they stopped in 2011. I have no idea why they haven't researched it further.
Interesting.
Well, I'm going to go with a grade of an A. Why don't they just ask Bill Nye, the science guy over here? Maybe he can figure it out.
Yeah. The one thing I wanted to talk about, I love learning about just the beginning part of when humans started kind of roaming the earth. All that stuff really is fascinating. And there, have you guys ever heard of the Denisovans? Does that sound familiar at all? During most of the past 2 million years or so, there was several species of, you know, all kind of like cave people and all that kind of stuff. And there's another cousin or species of people. I'm going to let this other guy tell you a little bit about it, but it is very interesting.
Our species, Homo sapiens, are the only humans around on Earth these days. But up until recently, that wasn't the case. You've probably heard of our famous extinct cousins, the Neanderthals, who lived in Europe and Asia. But since 2010, incredible evidence has revealed that another mysterious cousin lived alongside early humans and Neanderthals, the Denisovans, or Denisovans, depending on whether, I don't know. I've always said Denisovans, but now I'm being told it's Denisovans.
Okay, class, let's all say this together. 3, 2, 1.
Denisovans.
One more time.
Denisovans.
Good job, class. All right, Denny's. This is part two of that clip.
But now I'm being told it's Denisovans. And everything we know about them comes from a few small bits of bone and the genetic legacy they left behind from generations of interbreeding with our species. Our species and our cousins are hominins, a group of animals which includes us and our ancestral relatives, basically anything more closely related to us than to chimpanzees. During most of the past 2 million years or so, there were several species of hominins on Earth at any given time. And in the past few hundred thousand years before our species outlasted or outcompeted or just killed all the rest, our ancestors lived alongside Neanderthals and at least one other species of human.
Pretty interesting.
It's really interesting.
And it just sounds like humans have always been just always trying to get it in with anything. always breeding, man. It does, though.
That's true.
Always trying to make...
Yeah, they are.
We're a horny species. Look, like dolphins, we're a horny species.
It's that biological process, right? Like, that's the draw, right? Like,
I mean, every creature on this crawling on this planet, that's all they do.
Driven by the hunger...
And the fucking... them two things. That's pretty much what drives everything.
That's what I meant. The hunger of the... The gang.
Oh, yeah, the wolf internally.
The wolf in all of us. That's what drives, I would say, 99.9% of the species of any species?
Yes, XLs. I mean, marketing, everything. It's rolled into pretty much everything. I mean, I think there's been studies. It's probably a good fact on like how many times sex goes through a guy's head through the course of one day. And it's like, it's a lot.
Vicky, do you think back in the day, cave people, they would snuggle? They knew that kind of stuff. Do you think they did?
I'd like to think they did, because I mean, there's more to life than just procreating. There has to be that comfort level that would have come from that.
I'd love to know what the first laugh was. What made them start to laugh?
It was like mine.
Yeah, cave people laugh. Yeah. Like, ah!
It sounded like mine for sure.
Probably somebody tripping over something, if I had to guess.
I think physical comedy really is the one. Almost everybody likes physical comedy.
It was definitely a caveman getting hit in the nuts. Oh, yeah. For sure. Everyone died.
If you watch a child and he see somebody trip or fall, they'll giggle too.
And then kids too, they also laugh. A lot of kids laugh naturally at farts. They just automatically, if they're a little kid, they start giggling at it.
At their own or others?
I think both, honestly. Yeah. I've seen it happen where they're young enough to, they react to things, and a little toot, they start to giggle and laugh. Yeah. Makes you wonder.
Yeah, that's funny. That one's pretty universally funny amongst most people too.
Oh boy, not everybody though. We talk about farts on KBJ. There's always a couple. You guys, I cannot believe you're talking about farts again. Is this the third grade or what? I'm like, yeah, kind of.
But
like
you wonder if that's just taught etiquette, you know? If nobody was taught better, everybody would probably think it's funny.
Yeah, I was dating this girl and we were doing some kind of fart bit on the air, and she texted me and she's like, this is the least funniest bit ever. Farts are not funny. What are you guys doing? I was like, I don't think this is going to work out. I mean, to be that offended. I get if it's not your game, but to be that.
Totally.
Vicky, I want to get your opinion on this. In fact, we're going to do a little double segment with you. You're going to teach us a word in a few minutes, a ghostly word that we have to remember by the end of the podcast. Okay, this one says, and I don't think we read this, so stop me if we had. Dear Weird Whatever, my husband says he's seeing dead people walk around the house. He has lost all sex drive as well. He keeps telling me that the spirit's named Brazul. He says Brazul is responsible for making these dead people appear. My husband got an evaluation for his head to see if anything was going on. The doctor said he seems to be fine. I hate saying this, but I don't believe in this stuff, and I'm having a tough time relating to my husband. I feel like I believe he sees something, but I just don't believe it's really there. What should I do, because my patience is running thin? I would like to have sex with my husband again. I want my life back. P.S. Just to let everyone know, I love my husband very much. Please don't read my name, Amanda. I mean, just kidding. Vicky, thoughts?
Well, first of all, what kind of evaluation? I mean, did he sit down with somebody for 30 minutes and that's it?
So I had to edit the email because it was quite lengthy. He did.
One session.
Yeah, there was a whole paragraph where he had gone to a doctor regularly for about 6 to 8 months.
Okay.
And that's kind of where it all kind of started. I believe he's still going, but she's having a tough time. At first, I guess she was into it. Or it's supportive, I should say.
Right.
And now her patience is running thin because it's affecting their sex life.
Why is it affecting their sex life?
Doesn't want it. He's like just not.
Because the ghosts are watching, or I mean.
Brazul, he says. Does that name mean anything to you?
No, it doesn't.
Brazul? Brazul Pennington?
I mean, you know what I always tell clients? In the absence of a logical, then you have to look into it, there possibly being a paranormal reason. So if he's actually gone through the therapy and they've determined that there's nothing medically going on, then the next step would be to actually have an investigation to see if there's something paranormal.
Have you heard of this before, though, where a spirit or a ghost could affect someone's sex drive in a marriage or in a relationship?
I've never had, since 2007, I've never had a client claim that.
Interesting. That doesn't mean it's not a real thing, correct?
Right. I'm just saying it's never, with the hundreds of cases that I've done in all these years, I've never heard that claim.
Okay, now it's time for you to be on the hot seat, Vicky. You're going to be teaching us a word or a term for all of us ghost wannabe nerds out here. Now, Denny's gets to grade your ass.
Nice.
Well, we're actually going to start off with two terms because they go together and you need to know the distinction between them. So we're going to learn the difference between an intelligent haunt and a residual haunt. Because a lot of people, when they come, they have people come in for investigations, like in my report, I will say whether I think it's residual or an intelligent. Okay. So an intelligent haunt is an actual spirit that is present. Let's say we're talking about your residence. It's an actual spirit that can interact with you. If you ask them a question, they can actively answer it. You could ask them, say my name, and they'll say your name. So it's a real spirit. A residual haunt is just a place memory. For whatever reason, because especially in certain areas, because of what the ground's made of, it records our activities. And then when the conditions are right, it's like pressing play on a recorder, and it will replay that. For example, if you see, say the man in the email, we're seeing spirits and they were walking, not paying attention to him whatsoever, and walking through his house, walking through the walls, things like that. That's probably a place memory. It's probably a residual haunt because they're just walking. They walk that path so many times that it left their impression in the earth.
Question. Now, the people that are leaving the impression, the one that are just walking, do they have feeling? Do they know that they're there?
No, it's a memory.
It's just a memory.
It's like you're watching a movie.
Interesting. Now, can that memory ever interact with like a real ghost? Would a real ghost see that and be like, "Oh, I'm gonna screw around with this"?
They could probably. If you had an intelligent haunt, they might be able to see the residual haunt when it occurred. It's possible. I mean, I've never sat down with an intelligent haunt and asked them.
Do you ever see any ghost on ghost crimes? I mean, that's a fair question. Ghosts messing with other ghosts?
Oh, you definitely
have. Like in the movie
have.
Ghost?
Well, you definitely have ghosts interacting. You have ones who, in some cases, they like to a more powerful entity. Most of the time, it's either your usual, like, really, really negative human entities or something that's not human. They need energy. And they can get energy from other spirits. So they become like the head ghost, as you might, you know, want to call it. And they use the energy of the other spirits that are trapped there. The more spirits they trap in a location, if they're one of those type of spirits, the more energy they're going to get. And just think, it's like if you want to be the boss, don't you want to be the boss of a huge company instead of a little tiny company? So same thing with a ghost who is either a negative human haunt or a non-human, then they want as many spirits trapped there working for them as possible. So absolutely they can manipulate. They can be mad at each other. You can have ghosts fighting. I mean, we have audio from two ghosts bickering and fighting. We had audio of two ghosts laughing at me and Bobby Joe during an investigation because of something we did. I mean, they're literally laughing and talking about us. You know, in front of our faces.
So, Becky, pay attention. She's routed off some knowledge. Denny's, give that a grade.
I thought it was very informative. I liked it.
Calm down, Denny.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I give that an A. That was great.
See?
Does how someone was, for lack, I don't know what the word is, but whether they're buried or cremated or whatever, does that affect the potential for them being a spirit?
I've never noticed any correlation. I've never done any in-depth study to say, okay, this person was cremated, this person was buried. Now you will find a higher occurrence of someone who maybe something happened to them and they were put in a mass grave that was not marked, or say they were murdered and nobody ever found their body, that you'll see a lot more occurrences of interaction because they want you to know where their body's at. They want you to know what happened. But as far as cremated versus buried, I mean, I don't have.
And similarly, does residuals, like if it was like a tragic situation, is right. that it's more likely?
Yeah, for, absolutely. For a major tragic event is more likely to have a residual haunt connected to it.
So absolutely. Like, for example, like the tragedy of World War II and the Holocaust, there's more likely to be residuals
in
there
certain
in
yes.
certain areas. Yeah. Wow, that's interesting.
Just like the battlefield, like Gettysburg.
Right.
Some of those may be intelligent haunts, but I'd say a large majority of it is actually just residual.
Wow.
Yeah, so you think places with mass death and then later built, you know, houses on or that place got right. bought and stuff. Those are probably most likely grounds for haunts, especially residual.
And do residuals and intelligent haunts eventually move on if there's a certain level of satisfaction of something happening?
Residual is basically a place memory, so it's always going to keep replaying.
Okay.
The only reason that it wouldn't, if it's connected to what's actually in the ground, mm-hmm. like say limestone seems to hold memories better than other things in the earth. If you were to take up all the limestone in that area, you might possibly change the residual haunt, mm-hmm. but the residual's not going to change likely. The
Got
intelligent
it.
One, however, you can help them go to where they need to be.
Vicky, chat room's loving it. They're giving you an A+. They're wondering why Denny's didn't bring his A game, but that's okay. I'm totally busting your balls.
Literally, you got to bring your A game.
People love Denny's random facts. I do want to get your guys' opinion on this. Getting a lot of emails about the coronavirus, the C-Rones, the Corones, as the kids are calling it. Now, is the media just blowing this up to scare the shit out of people? Because it is working for some people. Or is this just this the real deal? Denny's, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's got to be somewhat real because they're canceling. There's a bunch of game events that are coming up. PAX got canceled. Well, a lot of people are pulling out of it. It's affecting a lot of business.
I think that's why people are getting scared. Because shit's getting canceled.
Yeah.
And every time I turn on the TV or I click on something, there's a new country or a new continent that has got it. You know, people, we've got some in the U.S. now. Nothing in Florida yet confirmed. But does this scare you at all, Vicky?
I work with kids. I mean, I'm around germs all the time. I did have a concern because I flew to Jamaica this past week. And I was concerned that I was going to walk into the airport and everybody would have a mask on. But then I figured, okay, that's cool. I'm not breathing their stuff in. They can wear it. But I was surprised. In the entire airport around the area where I was, there was only two people wearing masks. And on the flight back, there was only one person wearing a mask. Because I really thought, because like a friend of mine, she went to California a couple weeks ago, and like everybody was wearing a mask on the plane.
Well, that's going to be the weird and whatever question of the week. Let us know in the comment section when this podcast is done and uploaded up to our YouTube. Let us know, how do you personally feel about this coronavirus? Are you scared? Do you think the media is overhyping this? Are they hyping it up perfect? Are you legit having anxiety? Because we're getting emails of people who are legit freaking out and having anxiety. I went to go buy some masks at two Publixes and a Walmart and a Walgreens, and they were sold out completely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So people are definitely taking it seriously. But I don't know if it's media hysteria or if people are really, really scared. I'd love to get everyone's legit opinion, how they're feeling about it. Let us know in the comment section.
And I heard Denny's this morning. And because you were talking about recovering from being sick, and you were talking about the key is like staying hydrated and sleep and things like that. So I think even if the virus is a threat, keeping yourself as healthy as possible, you know, diet, enough water and enough sleep, it should be enough so that you could fight it even if you got it.
So if somebody has like a Ryan Beckett health lifestyle, the Corones ain't going to try to get him. Well, they're going to try, but
they could try.
They're
bounce
off
his
abs.
Yeah, they're not going to be successful.
Well, one of the things you know how I feel about the hurricane thing, and it's always better to be overscared than underscared, because what's the downside? You put shutters on your house, you got some water and some canned food and some extra batteries, and you were a little overscared maybe. But I think it's like being insurance. Having insurance, you hate writing that check every month until you actually have to use it. And the coronavirus, I'd rather see everyone freaked out more and actually taking precautions to make it not become a pandemic. A lot of people, experts, are saying this will be a pandemic. So I much rather Italy, where it's broken out next now in the north end in Milan, China. Now there, as of today, there's more cases outside of China than there are inside of China, which is a bad problem. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when it comes to the United States is the problem. And the other thing is being educated on these things. I listened to a professor at Harvard Med School. She goes, the problem with what people think about masks is people think that masks protect them from the coronavirus or other things. It doesn't. What masks do is protect other people from getting it if you have it already. Because if you sneeze or cough and you have influenza or you have the coronavirus, the mask, that's why they wear it. That's why surgeons wear a mask, because when someone's opened up on the surgical table, they don't want them to catch anything. So when you walk around in China on the subway in West Palm Beach with a mask thinking that's protecting you, I don't care what kind of mask you have. You get the most expensive one you can get. It's not protecting you from coronavirus.
Let's check out what some of the people in the chat room are saying. Someone said, coronavirus hates loud laughs. Shit.
Sound like the savior, right?
Yeah, no, you're right.
And Lyme disease.
Yeah, Lyme disease is another one, man. I think we talked about that last week. That'll knock you down. Yeah. Avril Lavigne had it. Love Avril Lavigne. Go Canada.
Yeah, date a girl with Lyme disease, but then it becomes an excuse for everything. Oh, this hurts, that hurts. I mean, it's legitimate, but you're like, how much is she actually saying? It's actually like whatever. Like, they have like a like an actual pass to say everything's bothering them all the time. But it's a horrible disease.
What, Lyme disease?
Yeah.
Yeah, Avril Lavigne did have it. Was I talking to you when I said Canadians are the only people you can make fun of on the air and you'll get no backlash?
Oh, yeah.
And Mormons.
You can get backlash in Mormons.
Really?
Yes.
Well, because the South Park guys did...
We're not South Park.
Book of Mormon was actually received relatively well.
Like, oh, yeah.
Joe Rogan on his stand-up, he goes, they actually took an ad out in the Playbill about the Mormon religion. That's interesting.
Well, Trey Parker, I believe, was raised around the Mormon religion, and that's why he pokes fun at it.
Got it.
Part of his lifestyle.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the Canadians are so peaceful. At least that's what they tell me.
They're Canadians, British, French. You kind of don't get flack for any of those.
You can make fun of the Brits, too. If you make fun of British people, people don't give you a hard time.
They really don't.
They really don't give you a hard time.
What's always weird about, like, my friends from Australia and England is that what's different than my friends in the American culture is they can get in a fight, and then I'll be buddies and drink beers afterwards. Like, if I get in a fight, like, I hate you.
that's weird because I kind of came from a culture, at least, and I'm just speaking from my family kind of thing. Most of us were Italian, and we fought a lot, but we would fight and then make up and love each other. Mm. That's kind of how we're very passionate. Mm-hmm. At least in my family, we were.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of other Italian relatives that I have are a lot like that, very passionate. But you fight because you love, if that makes sense.
You're right. I get that.
Yeah. I mean, I think sometimes it's okay to have a fight with people. You're going to do that because we are all slightly – well, first off, we're all moody people. We're all going to be going through shit. And sometimes people just butt heads. It doesn't mean it's the end of the world. Sometimes a fight's a good thing. You learn from fights.
I agree, and you're 100% right.
I don't like them.
I agree. One of the things that I was thinking more in my head is actual physical fights. Like, they'll
slug it out.
Yeah, they'll have fights, like bar fights, because they're all drunk, and then they'll all be like, you know, black eyes and hugging and singing afterwards, drinking more beers. And I'm like, whoa, if someone punched me, like, I am pressing charges.
I'm talking about the same thing. You ate my meatballs? Fuck you.
Totally.
Here's an interesting email. I'd like to get everyone's opinion on this, including Bird Knees. It says, am I weird? Because I hate kissing. My boyfriend loves to kiss and make out. I hate it. I've never liked it. I like to cuddle and be affectionate, but I hate kissing. I find it uncomfortable. I find it lame. I get bored with it. I don't understand how people like to make out. Am I weird because I don't like this? Kara from Orlando. She hates making out. The email was longer. She goes through this whole thing about she thinks it's so weak. Vicky, what are your thoughts?
No, I can totally. I know I've had plenty of people in my life. I have the ones that absolutely love it and absolutely hate it. There definitely is those two areas.
A divide.
Yes.
So, you've been with people that hate making out.
Mm-hmm.
Beckett, who could resist those lips, right?
I don't think I've ever been with a girl that doesn't like
making
out. Not like that. I just think in general, like not just with me, like in general, like I think you can tell so much from a kiss and like it's such like I would understand if there's somewhat of a minority of people that don't like kissing, but I think, I don't know.
I feel like I'm kind of with you. I feel like it would be a lower percentage of people who don't like to kiss. I don't know. I love making out. I think I can make out for hours on like high school shit.
Totally.
And I think it's probably not everyone's into that. I know people got things to do. I understand that. But to hate it, that I think is a little different. Denny's?
Yeah, I definitely don't hate making out. I know Jen's making faces. I'm probably on the lower.
He hates it or likes it. He hates it.
Well, it's mainly because I smoked cigarettes for so long, and I mean, dude, I'm very self conscious about my breath. So if I'm not prepped, I don't want to make out. Especially if I'm outside, like drinking water and stuff, and I'm dehydrated. The last thing I want to do is make out with somebody.
But that's understandable because that's a reason. Right?
Yes.
It's not like an actual block to it.
Yeah, no, because I actually, like the act of it. I have to be prepped.
It's lifestyle side of it.
Yeah, if I don't have gum in my mouth, it's not happening.
I get it. But you do, if you had great breath, you'd like to make out.
If I shower and brush my teeth, then anything's game, you know? Because I'm 100% clean.
Jen, again, is still shaking your head. No.
Everything's on the table.
Birdie, step up to the microphone, please, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Let's get your opinion here. I also want to get your opinion on something else.
Of course.
And then we're going to, not to taunt the witches out there, But
but you want to.
I was just going to see if we could do a little quick who has the best witch's laugh or voice. Not yet. We'll do it in a second. And I'm not making fun of witches. I'm just having some fun. Mm-hmm. Brittany, your thoughts on this whole kissing debacle?
I would have several questions about it. Okay. I think you should want to kiss because I think that leads to other activities. Like, I don't know how you cannot kiss and feel aroused, I guess, especially if it's the right person. Like, I can understand if you don't like kissing someone because they maybe have stubble and it makes your face break out or something, or you're not sexually attracted to the person or you don't like the person. But I think when it comes, you should like kissing the person.
Yeah,
okay,
that's fair.
I'm just kind of trying to get a little poll here. I feel like Vicky, Denny's are on the lower end of the making out thing.
No. I said other people in my life. Gotcha. I didn't answer for myself.
Oh, my bad. I apologize. Okay, Vicky likes making out. Yeah. All right. Vicky likes it. Beckett, you love it.
Love it.
Denny's, if he's got good breath.
I actually think it's the first test. It's the first test. If you're a bad kisser, like, I can save myself a lot of stress.
I feel like you can teach people, Beckett. I feel like you can't. If people are willing to learn, but mother fathers don't like to learn.
How are you going to teach someone to kiss?
You can teach anybody. When it comes to that stuff, you can. I'm not saying you can teach everything, but if someone's open, if I was a shitty kisser. Okay, for example, in college, there was this girl that I dated, and she kissed like a lizard. She'd stick out her tongue like, no, like a stabbing thing. It didn't work out, but if we would have been boyfriend and girlfriend and we started talking about it, we said, hey, why don't you try it this way? Why don't we try kissing this way and suggesting different things? You could teach somebody and retrain them.
I guess.
I don't know.
I mean, look.
I feel like it's a natural thing, you know?
I dated someone who would kiss me, and they licked my mouth like a dog lapping a bowl of water. Awful.
That is awful.
It's rough. Yeah. My freshman year, I played baseball in Marianna, Florida. I dated like four people in this town, and they all kissed the same way. They all did this weird thing with
their... They probably all kiss each other.
Lizard people.
They were like, maybe lizard people are real, because they kissed like lizard people.
Oh, wow.
It was bizarre. It was weird. Marianna, Florida.
Don't go there.
I don't even know where that is.
Well, if you like lizard kiss, and go to Marianna, Florida.
Where is it?
It's in the Panhandle.
Explains a lot.
Yeah. Shit gets weird up there.
Oh, no.
Dear Weird Whatever, we don't have to answer this question if you don't want to. Research has proven that the best sex happens in a weird place. You know what? Let's save that question. That's very sexual.
Sounds awesome.
I want to get into it.
Me too.
We'll get there in a second. I want to make fun of some witches.
Oh boy, we're gonna get cursed.
No. I'm not buying these witches act. I'm not buying it at all. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go around the round table real quick. Everyone, tell me something positive this week. I mean, Vicky, you're leading the league in positivity. Mm-hmm. Something that's positive this week. What would you like to say?
I would like to tell people, don't ever give up on something that you really and truly want, because it can happen, but it will happen in the time it's supposed to.
Even if I want to become a professional wrestler?
Yes. Go for it.
I love it. It's great advice.
I like it.
Love is in the air, my friends.
It's very topical.
Becky, what are you thankful for this week?
It's kind of cheesy, but I actually think that good always ultimately wins over evil, and the car was stolen in front of my house, and I was really, it's the best way to put it, impressed by how the local police, West Palm Beach Police, Palm Beach County Sheriff, handled it. I was really impressed how the neighborhood all came together and wants to, you know, the good of the neighborhood wants to come to help combat the minority of the bad. And I think that just as a human citizen, that's always encouraging to see that people actually care, whether it's actually their job or they actually just want to bond together in terms of protecting, you know, the good of the neighborhood. That's awesome.
Birdney.
Well, as I've been saying, I turned 30 on Friday.
Ow! Oh. 30! 30!
Yes. Happy birthday.
Thank you. And I've just been, you know, my mom was like, oh, she's setting up something. I sent a text. She's like, invite people, because I don't know how to do that. So I was like, okay, I'm going to invite whomever. And I've just received a lot of people saying, like, of course I'll be there and stuff. And usually I'm like, oh, you don't have to if you don't want to. But the amount of people that are like, of course I'll be there, I don't know, it just makes me realize that I have a lot of good people in my life.
Yeah,
friendship is a very important thing. Mm-hmm. Even if you only have one good friend in your life, that can get you through a lot. We're all just looking for a place to belong, am I right?
Yeah, and definitely better quality over quantity for sure in that regard, I think.
Mr. Denny's, I know you've been sick as shit.
So, being healthy.
Do you feel better? People are asking, what do you say your percentage is?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing better. I should be fully back by, like, Saturday.
All right. We're worried about you, Mijo. We're worried about you, brother. All right, guys. We've been going 53 minutes. We got a couple more things to discuss. I did want to just real quick, do you guys not want to play the witch game? You guys feel like I'm taunting the witches?
Yes. You know I'm not going to participate.
Well, they went in on me first, Vicky.
Do two wrongs make a right?
I mean, it's just kind of fun. It's just kind of fun seeing people.
I feel like
by the way, they were like mean and threatening and vulgar and swearing and all kind of shit like that.
Okay, well, there's definitely ways you can deal with it more productively.
Were they cursing a lot?
Oh my gosh, yeah. These witches are coming full force. Mm-hmm. I would like them to look, open invitation. Come down to the show tomorrow where the show starts at 6 a.m.
What's the show tomorrow?
Just the KBJ show. I mean, honestly, if I had witches protesting in the parking lot, you know how amazing that is?
Do you think Virginia would go out and participate?
She better be on my side.
She's leading the pack.
She better be on my side, man. I'm in a witch war. I need her on me with me, without a doubt. Okay, we'll do that one. Email. It says, Dear Weird Whatever, research has proven that the best sex happens in weird places, like inside the sea, on top of a moving train, on the expressway, stuff like that. So, just wondering, weirdos, where is the weirdest place you've ever had sex? You don't have to answer it if it makes you feel uncomfortable. Maya from Lake Worth. I'll go ahead and say mine. Probably I-95, driving. Dangerous, don't recommend it.
You were driving?
I was driving. It'd be tough if someone else was driving.
I have so many questions.
I mean, if someone else was driving, that'd be tough.
That's a fair point. It's a fair point.
What are your questions, Brittany?
Like, what position was this?
I was driving, and they were on top of me, and I was kind of driving like that.
Wow.
Yeah, again, I was young, and it's dangerous. I don't recommend it. It's not cool, so don't email me. But, yeah, that's my answer. Beckett, I know you're just itching to give us your answer.
I actually think the key ingredient is passion. So whether it's passionate because...
Answer the question, Beckett.
It's in the moment. I would say lifeguard stand on the beach.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, little rocky waters over there.
It's like quasi-public, but it's also somewhat private. It's romantic because you have a beautiful view. For me, I get anxiety if it's too public, and then I don't feel comfortable to be passionate. I like to be comfortable, so I'm not really into the public places thing. But
let me guess, you were running like 9 miles like next to the Amazon River, and then you and your girl made beautiful love in some kind of exotic tree.
Nah, I think it's Fort Lauderdale Beach.
Look at day.
Baywatch.
Vicky, you don't have to answer it if you don't want to.
No, that's fine. It sounds like I'm copying, though. Mine was also the car, but we weren't on 95. We would go to Ale House in Boynton all the time.
Oh.
And then we'd take that route home, you know, like down Gateway and down Lawrence, and we would have a good time on the way home.
Ow!
Very
wow.
Nice.
Ow! Denny's, do you want to answer this?
I mean, I'm kind of like Beckett, where I don't like the public, you know, stuff.
He hates making out. He doesn't like public sex.
It'd be like a balcony.
Balcony?
Yeah.
Balcony's not bad.
It's terrible for me. I'm scared of heights. It would not be a good move for me. I can't look. I'm closing my eyes.
What was yours? Did you say yours?
I-95.
I-95. That's right. I-95. I have this white wine.
What'd you say?
This white wine is fucking messing with my memory.
Bernie, your answer.
At the Run Fair, I did it at I was in New York Run Fair, so there it was like in a valley.
What's Run Fair?
The Renaissance Festival.
Oh, okay.
So me and the person I was with at the time, we went up. It was like up on a hill in a woody area, and it was kind of epic because I was against a tree and there was music playing in the background. I felt like the music really matched.
Was it the song from Ghost?
I wish.
Wait, so you guys were obviously in Renaissance garb?
Yes.
Oh, that's an extra element to it.
That's good.
That was pretty epic. It was a good time. The music really added the cherry on top, though.
Yeah, that's
it
funny.
Fit it certain
that's
music, awesome. Man, it's the great equalizer. It can really enhance everything. I think we went through that question. That was very good job, everyone. I love it.
End of February, end of love month.
So. That's right.
And Brittany, we're gonna be celebrating your birthday. So you also had a. Did we do the fear topic last week?
We did not.
So what was your topic with the fear?
So interesting thing. There was this woman in China who was old, and she was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. And her granddaughter, who lives in Miami, who this actually was a movie that came out. The family knew, and it's a thing in China where they don't tell the patient they have cancer, they tell the family members because they truly believe it's not it's like not the cancer that kills, but it's the fear that kills a person. So they were like, your grandmother's dying, and the grandmother was fine, she was just coughing and stuff, she's like whatever. So this granddaughter who lives in Miami, her and her husband like did this whole wedding thing in China, and it was kind of a farewell to the grandmother unbeknownst to like the grandmother. And you know, they were all, the grandma's like, oh, you're just having your wedding early and you're having it in my hometown in China. That's great. This is awesome. So the family came, they all kind of said their goodbyes, but the grandmother was unaware. And 6 years later, this grandmother is still alive, even though she was given 4 months to live. And it was on a podcast and they made a movie. I forget what the name of the movie's called now, but it came out recently and the grandmother's still alive. And it's that idea that it's fear that kills you, not the cancer.
You know, it's I always think that especially when I don't know if you've ever seen Man on the Moon with Jim Carrey. He plays Andy Kaufman and he finds out he has cancer and he's doing all of these different kind of remedies and he's doing a lot of Eastern kind of stuff. And I always wonder, because I think they address it in that movie, if, and I could be wrong, but not knowing, would that be a better thing? If I had a deadly disease and it was already lights out for me, would I want to know that, or would I want to just live my life? Because I know how I am. I'm afraid it would take up the remaining of my time thinking about that. It's an interesting thing to kind of go through.
Well, when I go to the doctor and he always says, do you want me to do the full blood thing? Because, you know, we have to have ones for the insurance. Do you want me to do a full one? And I always say to him, I want my death to be a nice surprise. Because I think that if I know there's something wrong with me, I will act like there's something wrong with me.
I'm with you.
I'd rather not know.
It's easy to say you wouldn't act like that. I mean, fear does, it cripples everything. I mean, everything I've not done in my life has been because some kind of fear has stopped that. And everyone's got some kind of fear, and I think you have to somehow confront it. And it's tough for a lot of people to do that, especially sometimes you don't even know what you're afraid of. Sometimes you just are afraid of shit, and you don't even know where the root of that kind of stuff is. But fear is a cancer within itself. And if you're able to, I think, deal with fear in a way where you can harness it and not let it affect you and not let it paralyze you, I think fear can be an asset. But it's a tough game to use that as fuel. You really got to do some soul searching.
Confronting fear is like a muscle, in my opinion. You had to build it up, right? And some of the best moments in my life have happened when I've confronted a fear. I'm more the knowledge person. Like, I want to know everything. I'm not type A until it comes to my health. Like, I'm the person that wants every single test possible. I think that where I would probably land with it is that I would want to know that I had something like cancer, but maybe they could be a little bit more ambiguous as to the prognosis of that cancer. So I want to know that I need to stop smoking. I want to know that I need to spend more time with my loved ones. I want to know that I need to do chemo, but I also want to know that my percentage isn't 1%.
I'm kind of talking about something different. I feel like if you have a chance to beat this thing, whatever it is, right, you want to have that information. But if I was to walk into the doctor's office tomorrow and they go, Bird, you've got like a 1% chance of you're going to die, you know, in 6 months, I don't know if I'd want to know that.
Right.
Yeah. I've known people too where they've been given, or I've heard stories where people have been given like the death sentence, and where they were given 6 months to live just based on the person, they died a week later just because they had given up hope.
Right.
And I wonder too, sometimes you see older couples, one passes away, and within hours the other one passes away too. And I wonder if they gave up the will to even want to be here because their loved one They just can't go on. It's weird when that story happens.
Well, there's studies. There's actually a true thing of dying from a broken heart. Mm-hmm. Like, that's actually, like, a thing that's actually, you know, you don't literally have a broken heart. But, like, yes, the stress, the trauma from all that, it actually helps or causes people to actually finally pass.
Have we all had a broken heart here?
Yes.
Well, I'm sure.
I don't think you have to have a relationship to have a broken heart either.
Oh, no. No, without a doubt. Yeah.
Okay, guys, I think we're going to go and wrap that up. Question of the week.
The coronavirus.
Let us know your emotions on it. Do you think the media is hyping it up? Are you scared? Is this another, it's just going to be bullshit? Let us know in the comment section. Vicky, what was the ghost terms we were, in fact, you know what? If you don't mind, would you quiz Beckett?
Well, he was doing a really good job. He was taking notes.
Do you want to quiz me then?
Okay, because you got up during it.
Okay. Oh, shit. Okay.
Okay. I will ask it in the form of a question. If I call in a paranormal investigator, who are they going to help cross, a residual or an intelligent haunt?
A paranormal investigator is going to do the regular haunt, not the one that leaves the print. The print one's not.
Use the terminology.
It is shit. hold on. Damn it, Bird.
So a paranormal investigator can help cross which type of haunt?
I'm blanking, Vicky. I feel like I'm in my spelling bee back in third grade.
You need to use your smarts to figure it out.
What is it? Yeah, tell me.
Intelligent
haunt. Come on, Bird. God, this is embarrassing.
You didn't even have white wine.
No, I'm actually stone cold sober. That's the issue.
That's the problem.
I think I function.
It's throwing you off your game.
I function better with a slight buzz. Not too big of a buzz, but exactly. Yeah, stone cold sober. And anything you guys want to plug? Anything? Okay, guys, thank you for listening to the Weird and Whatever podcast. Let us know about the coronavirus down and below. Also, if you want to follow what we're doing, Jason KVJ on Instagram. That's where you're going to see the UFO videos of my dad and Bird Knees. Thank you all so much for listening. We love you all. And
Bigfoot is real.
What was that? What? What's that sound? Where? It's aliens and they're living in your town.